like my little chicks right here. I'm so glad that you guys came to church tonight because we have an awesome class prepared for you. And we're very excited that we get to share this with you. First of all, I'm going to pray. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here tonight, for allowing us to be here together to worship you, to honor you, to bring you glory, Lord. We thank you so much because you made yourself clear to us, God, because you constantly give us help and guidance and love. God, because you take care of us on a daily basis. Please, Father, help us tonight as we do this lesson and as we do what we're going to do tonight, Father. Just help be with us, help us. Open the hearts of everybody here so that we can just leave inspired and happy and just willing to follow you, Father, with all our hearts. We love you, Lord. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. So tonight, we're going to hear from amazing sisters that we have some athletes in the house right here today. There were seven sisters that took a challenge and worked hard to do a triathlon. And it was their first time. And they trained for a long time, but they persevere and they did it, and they have a lot of lessons that they learn. So I'm going to ask the sisters to come up here for a minute. So Tommy Goodwin, Kat, Charlotte, Amy, Tracy, Jackie, come over here, and Judy. Yeah, who's that? Karen. Where is Karen? Oh. Well, we're so proud of them. We are, like, so excited because they never did that before. But they trained together, but the best part is that they learned tons of things about themselves. So just give them a round of applause again. Tonight, you can sit. Thank you. Tonight, we're going to hear from Amy, from Jackie, and from Judy. They're going to share with us what they learned. And then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about perseverance. So first of all, who's going to do it first, Jackie? Oh, Amy. So let's hear from Amy, then Judy, then Jackie.
I was hoping to go behind Marissa Bell. So I'm Amy Wiley. A little nervous, so bear with me. Member of the our team name is Triumphant Atlanta Ladies. We were a triathlon team, as Marissa Bell said. First, I'd like to explain that a triathlon is we swim, then bike, then run. And we are not the usual team. We're just not. We're an unlikely group. In fact, most of us did not know how to swim when we joined the team. Half of us did not even own a bike. I was one of them. And had not biked since I was 18. And we didn't run. None of us ran a mile since childhood. I actually walked my 2 miles. But I had ankle pain the whole time. But in Luke 1:37, this is one of the scriptures that stood out to us, especially for me as well. It says, "For nothing is impossible with God." And so our journey began with a kickoff meeting in February, and followed by months of training that increased our faith, decreased our waistlines, and deepened our friendships. And, the triathlon team was formed, one, to do something impossible that would build team members' faith in God, two, share our lives with teammates who did not attend our church, And three, build amazing friendships and get healthy. I've skipped a spot. We had four members that were not part of our church, and we also acquired a few more. We had Mary Joy, who we included. She was doing it on her own, and we're like, yeah, no, you're part of the team. And we cheered for her, and she, you know, cheered for us, and, you know, she joined in, like, the last 2 weeks of our training, and we just brought her along with us. And then we ran into people in the elevator not knowing who they were, and they were friends of Valerie's coming in from work that were doing the triathlon that were part of her little group from work, and we didn't know who they were. We're talking to them in the elevator, and all of a sudden we see Nico, and we all knew Nico. So they were, you know, the families that came cheered for all of us, and that was really great, including them. Let's see here. Sorry, I'm skipping around. Not everyone wants to be a triathlete, but the lessons we learned are applicable to anything that's impossible in your life. Tonight we want to share with you the journey to become triathletes, the race we ran, and the spiritual lessons that we learned. And we hope you find it encouraging. So now I'm going to talk a little bit more. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 9:25. I'm trying not to take up everybody's time. It says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so I had a lot of obstacles to overcome. The main one was getting a bike, which another teammate, Lavika, she didn't like the first bike she got, so she got a new bike, and I said, can I borrow your other bike? I'd take a slow bike over no bike. So I got the bike, and I didn't, you know, the first time I rode my bike, I didn't even get around the block. It took me, you know, 3.5 weeks before the race to get it, so there wasn't much time to do it. So the first time I couldn't get out of the apartment complex, I felt like I ran 10 miles, and I only, like, went a few feet. And I learned that the seat needed to be raised because my knees were hurting, and so Tammy helped me with that, and then I fell off in her neighborhood because I couldn't touch the ground. So then I was like, no, I'm not going to do anymore. And so I was going to quit. I was ready to quit. I was over it. I couldn't afford to go the works. Michelle helped me get there and paid for me to get there. Karen was there with me, split a room with me, and Mary Joy joined in with us, and we ended up getting there. I was unable to train consistently due to my schedule and having the kids. And so my model became slow and steady. And as I was riding my bike during the race, I kept telling myself slow and steady. And the morning of the race, Valerie, Mary Joy, Karen, and I were joking around about how slow we were. And I came up with the idea of proposing that we would compete for last. Well, I won that. I was the last person on the course. And the cool thing is that all the volunteers could leave their posts because I was last. So I came in with like 20 people behind me, cheering me on. I felt like a superstar. So Tammy is telling me I am up. So we are going to let, is it Jackie that's coming up next? Judy. We'll let Judy speak. Thank you very much.
My name is Judy Wimbush, and what I want to share about this triathlon is that when Kat asked me to join the triathlon, I said yes because I was like, great, I'm going to lose weight, and I really need to lose a few pounds. And I was strictly in it for the health benefit. I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wasn't interested in making any new friends because I'm often secluded and keep to myself a lot. And I kind of brushed her off very rudely. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And when I went home that night, I said to my husband, I said, this girl asked me to do a triathlon. And he was like, are you going to do it? And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And he said, well, who asked her? I said, some girl. And that actually really embarrasses me that I was, you know, that rude and that dismissive saying it like that. Privately, I was really going through a really rough time with with my, I have a 21-year-old daughter, and I was going through a rough time with her, and most of the time my feelings were hurt, very hurt. And my nature is to seclude myself and not to deal with anybody. And if I could, I would go into a cave and just deal with myself. So when we were all training, I wanted to train by myself. People were coming up with schedules as to when they were going to train, going to swimming pools, going to tracks, going to parks. And I remember Tracy was always like, well, come to the pool with us. When do you go to the pool? I was like, I'm in the pool. Don't worry about me. I'm in the pool. And, you know, I was swimming, I was running, and I wanted to be by myself. That was just how I was. And as training progressed, Kat was always having meetings, spiritual meetings, and I was, you know, I'm always a doer. I would go to the meetings, and the meetings, if you know Kat is very organized, very business-oriented. She dots her I's, crosses her T's, and she wanted to talk about everyone's strengths and weaknesses, and I was there mostly for the food because we had nice snacks and I was training and I wanted them to know I didn't just sign up. So what I learned is that Karen couldn't swim at all. I don't even know if she's even here still. I know she had to leave early. Karen could not swim. And the pool that we mostly trained in was, I think, 12 feet. So, some of us could swim well. Big ups to Tracy, wherever she is. Tammy grew to be a fantastic swimmer. Karen couldn't swim, and Karen would jump in 12 feet of water. And we would sit up there and look at her like, what are you doing? And she would pop back up, and she would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Charlotte couldn't run, but Charlotte learned how to run miles and miles and miles. And this made me see that everybody has difficulties. So the reason I bring that up is because their difficulty was not much different than my difficulty with my daughter. And it made me see that the necessary isolation I was putting myself in was completely unnecessary. And the scripture that I want to go to is Proverbs 3:5. And it says that to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So what my understanding was to join this team and to lose weight, it was 10 pounds actually, and I actually gained 4. I'd like to think that, but so. And my point is that God gave me what I needed, which is, even though God gave me what I needed, even when I didn't understand it. And I thought I was joining a fitness team, but instead I gained a freedom from my anxieties about my daughter. I spent much needed time with positive and spiritual women who were constantly pulling each other up. I'm telling you, the encouragement that we received from one another was incredible. And I gained true and unexpected friendships with women I never even looked at. And we had a great time at the triathlon. And that's it.
Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Jackie Flowers. And, if you don't know me, I've been running for a very long time. Tracy and I have been running for a very long time, so the running part was not a problem for me. But for the triathlon, when Kat asked me to do the triathlon, the first thing I said was, I don't have time for that. I was in school, I was working, I was trying to help with the team ministry, there was just too much going on, and I said, there's no way. So one of my coworkers who I'd been reaching out to, I had shared with her that this friend of mine from church had invited me to do a triathlon, and I said to her, I said, there's no way. She said, well, I've always wanted to do one. And me and my big mouth said, well, if you do it, I'll do it. And she did it. And Lucretia actually worked through this whole triathlon with us, and she finished. I was real proud of her. But for me, it was, I can't swim. I'm 46 years old and just learned how to swim this year. So it was really hard for me. So I'm trying to go through this and be, you know, I had to write it all down. So I was really frustrated because I saw that some of us were swimming like laps and miles and miles. Tracy, hate her. And some of us were struggling with the swimming. And I wondered to myself, well, why wasn't I getting it so easy? Because a lot of things, you know, thank God, come easy to me. The swimming was not one of them. So one day when I was having my quiet times, I was really, I mean, I really think that God guided me to the scripture. And it's Hebrews 12:1, which says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And what stood out for me there was, throw off everything that hinders and run the race with perseverance that's marked out for me. And when that hit me, I said, gosh, that is so true. Because I realized that I can't compare my race to everybody else's race. And no one can run my race but me. I can't run Kat's race. I can't run Charlotte's or Tracy's or Amy's. I can't run anybody else's race but my own. And then, you know, kind of course, you got to bring it back and say, well, wait a minute. You know, in my life, I've had my own race through my, you know, walk with God. I had to walk through certain things. So that was one thing that I learned. Second thing that I learned is I had to work hard because swimming was not easy. So I had to set my mind to work hard. And then the other part was because I was afraid of the water. As soon as that water got deep, my heart just started beating faster, and next thing I know, I was so, and Tammy's laughing because she remembers. But, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, we buddied up, as Judy said, we partnered, we helped each other out. Tammy and I got one of the Swim Atlanta swim instructors to help us, and she helped us get through the swimming. Tammy did a much better job than I did, but, you know, because I was running my race, I said, you know what? She's going to help me get through my 10 laps. That's all I have to do is 10 laps. So all I was going to worry about is doing my best. It wasn't anybody else's best, but my best. And then lastly, the thing that I had to realize was I didn't have to come in first. God doesn't care if we come in first. And he doesn't care if we come in last. You know, and that was the other thing that hit me is that I am not an Olympian. I am not trying to be, you know, Flojo. You know, that's not me. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make is some of us tread water the entire way. Some of us swam, and I wrote this down on purpose, like Michael Phelps. And then some of us bike like Lance Armstrong. And some of us had to walk those bikes up those hills. And some of us were Flojo out there. And some of us had to walk those 2 miles. So ultimately, we each did it. And that's what really mattered. And I think the best part of all of it was finishing that race, getting through and saying, amen, I did it. But then the second best part was turning around and saying, come on, Charlotte, come on. Keep going, you're almost there, and just cheering each other on. So overall, I think, you know, like Judy said and Amy said, we built deeper friendships. We continue our fitness goals. Some of us are doing a half marathon. Some people are running 5Ks. We've gone a little over the top, and we're doing another triathlon in May. And most of us, I think, are doing Rambling Rose next year. That was a great race for us. And I think we're all thankful that we took this journey and how God has worked in each of our lives. So I guess my last thing is, as you face your mountains, whatever they are, make a decision to run your race, continue to fight, and never stop trying. That's all I have. Oh, and we have an honorary team member shirt for Sarah.
Oh, wow, that's very inspiring. That was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, guys. Well, my class is going to be about perseverance. In life, we go through many difficulties. We have many trials, tribulations. We got a lot of obstacles. We all have our own race to run, right? But in life, it's having the right perspective and knowing that we are in a battle for our souls. Our Christian life is a battle for our souls. We're not fighting against each other. We're only fighting evil. And what we have to do is we have to be relentless. And we have to get up over and over again because we want what's on the other side. And because we believe in it 100%. So it is difficult, but it's rewarding and it's worth it. Because we're running a race to be able to get to heaven one day. So Jesus said that to us. He said, in this life, you will have trouble. And that's in John 16:33. So I'm not going to ask you to look up the scriptures because we don't have much time. But I'm going to read them for you and you could write them down. So Jesus said that, and also Peter said, don't be surprised at the painful trials you are going through. Don't be surprised. You will go through troubles. You will have difficulties. No matter what it is, you will have it. Some of us go through sickness. Some of us have arguments or disagreements or fights with our husbands. Some of us have problems with our children. Some of us have unfair bosses, you know, at work, problems with our boss, problems with our coworkers. You name it. We always have something going on. Some of us end up with cancer. Some of us have a dead parent or a dead child. I mean, so many things happen in our lives, but what are we going to do? You know what I mean? God, this is the name of the class, perseverance. God wants you to persevere. You cannot go without persevering. This life, as a Christian person, there's no other way. You have to persevere. You cannot give up. That's not an option. If you want to make it to the end, you have to persevere. It's a requirement. What's perseverance? It's commitment. It's endurance. It's persistence. It's not giving up. Is pushing through life in spite of the circumstances. There's a quote that says, persevering is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did. So you work and work and work and don't give up. So when you persevere, you're invested. You're determined to reach that goal. Like the sisters, they were invested. They were determined. Amy said, I'm going to finish. Charlotte said, I have to finish. They were tempted to stop, but they didn't. They went ahead and finished. When we have a clear goal and clear understanding that obstacles will come, we won't let them get us down because we know something will come. So don't go through your Christian life thinking everything is fine. You're always going to be happy. You don't have to be smiling all the time, but you should have a joy in your heart because God is behind you in every way, in every step of the way. A great example of perseverance in the Bible was Noah. And in Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He was a faithful, obedient man. He listened to God. He knew it was going to be weird and a lot of work. He knew he was going to have to face the neighbors and everybody looking at him weird. He was odd in those times because God got tired of the evil that was going around. And he said, that's my righteous man, and I'm going to give you a job to do. It probably, you know, some people said it took him about 100 years to build the ark. He was persevering. It took him about 100 years to build this ark. He believed in God. He took God at his word. He persevered. He didn't let any feelings or circumstances stop him. He just went for it because God asked him to. His obedience to God. He believed that God was the Almighty, the only one, the amazing one, the everlasting. I mean, he knew who God was. So he said, oh, I better do this because God is asking me to do it. And he did it. And it took him a long time, but he did it. You know, people probably gave him bad looks and made fun of him and, you know, but he did it. And how many people did he save? 8 people. Just 8 people. Out of all those people, he saved 8 and the animals. But he had to do it because God asked him to do it. Do we listen like Noah? Do we go through our life listening and being obedient to God the way Noah did? In spite of the feelings, in spite of the circumstances, emotions, in spite of everything that you go through in life and the pain that other people cause you, do you still obey? Do you know what I mean? We have to remember Noah. We have to remember God. God, he's 100%. He never changes. He never lies. He's holy. He's perfect. He's there. He will always be there for you. Do you remember that when you're going through troubles? That's what needs to push you forward every time. That's what needs to give you that perseverance that, okay, I know I lost my job. I know I got cancer. I know my daughter doesn't want to talk to me right now. I know, you know, but God is with me, and I'm not going to stop being a Christian. I'm not going to stop having faith. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible. I'm not going to stop praying because God is faithful, and he will listen to you every time when you believe it. He says you have to believe it because I will listen to you. So Romans 8:28, the Bible says, and we know that in all things, God works for those, the good of those who love him. So it's a promise. He will work for you. He will. So you just have to have those memory scriptures in your mind. He will work for me. I cannot give up. If you don't trust like Noah, you have to check yourself. What's stopping you? What's in your life that's stopping you from believing like Noah did? You have to be open. You have to go to people and say, hey, you know what? I'm going through this situation. I don't know why I can't do this. Or why am I thinking this way? Why can't I just change? Or you have to depend on each other so that we can help one another change. So when you're not there, when you feel like it's just not working for me, you have to say, be humble and go to somebody else and ask, hey, can you help me? Because I'm not able to figure that out on my own. So you have to be humble and be open to be able to go and get the help that you need. Another promise in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to men, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Another promise. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure. So what's the excuse? You know, God is right there with us. He said, I will give you a way out. You'll stand up under it. You will be able to do it. So what's the problem? It's not him. It's us. When we doubt, when we don't push, when we give up, It's not him. He's 100%. He's always there. It's us. So we need to check ourselves and figure out what's stopping me from giving my 100%. God says in the Bible, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So he said, I know you're going to go through things. Don't be anxious. Just pray to me. I will guard your heart. I'm going to give you more than you can bear. You can bear it. If you're going through it, you can bear it. I know. So just pray to me, and I will give you strength. I will guard your heart and your mind. God is promising these things. So what happens? We just start losing the memory scriptures. We start forgetting that there is a Bible over there that we could go back to. We start going, like, blind in the world, and we start going by our emotions and our feelings, and we forget the truth of the Bible. So you can't forget, because what's at stake? Your soul. Your children's souls, the people that come after you, a lot of people depend on you. And you have to be obedient to God because he's amazing. He has so many things that he's promising you. What are you going to trust if it's not God? You know what I mean? A job? A job is not going to send you to heaven. What's the alternative if we don't listen? That's scary. If we don't listen to God, this is a scary scripture. 2 Peter 2:20. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. We don't want that. It says that we will be worse off. So we don't have a choice, sisters. We have to push. We have to persevere. We have to try our best. We will not be the same. Like Jackie said, we all have our race, but we all can help each other to get there. You're not alone. That's why we're here in this church, because we're all sisters and we're all supposed to be helping one another. But if you don't open your mouth, who's going to know that you needed help, right? You have to take responsibility for your salvation, but you have to open your mouth and get advice, get input, talk to your mentor for the teens, talk to your discipling partner, whoever. But you have to talk. You cannot just leave by yourself. My second point, that was my first point. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in God was my first point. My second point, what are the results of persevering? We have spiritual growth. There is something that happens when you persevere. So I'm going to read the scripture in Zechariah 13:9. This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say they are my people and they will say the Lord is our God. He refines us through the fire. So when you're going through troubles, don't say, oh, why am I going through this? Just say, wow, God is refining me right now. He's taking me through the fire. And another amazing thing is, he doesn't just push you in the fire. You go in the fire. He leads you through the fire. He's with you through the fire. He refines you in the fire. You're not alone. So when you go through these troubles and difficulties and trials and tribulations, whichever way you want to say it, he's with you. He's not absent. He's not over there. Who knows where, but he's with you constantly. So you can't forget that. So when you go through trials, you will grow. During difficult times we have the greatest opportunity to grow into the people God wants us to become. He leads us through the fire and refines us as we go through it. Persevering through those difficult times is indispensable for our spiritual growth. And James 1, 2-4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance might finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Perseverance is important for you to be mature and complete and not lacking anything. How much do you persevere? How much have you grown? Are you really persevering or are you giving up in the middle? It's so easy to give up because it gets uncomfortable, because it gets so hard, because it's painful. But then you don't grow. You're stuck in there. You're not going to see any difference because you're not fighting. Pretty much you're not believing in God's power. So you have to persevere. Persevere through every situation you go through. You're not alone. By applying perseverance, we become mature and complete. And we become more and more and more like Jesus. You know, we become more and more like him. And that's our goal. Imitate Jesus. And as the days go by, as the issues go by, and, you know, the problems go by, you start looking back and you say, wow, I used to be that way. And look at what I am now. I'm more patient. I'm kinder. I'm more loving. Wow, I am more compassionate nowadays. Look at how I used to be. I was so prideful before, and now I'm humble. You know what I mean? So all this stuff happens when you keep on going, keep on persevering, keep on working on it. You can't stop. That's not a choice. And James 1:12 says, "Blesses the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him." And Luke 8:15, just write them down. Luke 8:15, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." So there is no other way. You have to persevere to produce a crop. And the crop is your character. Your character changes as you persevere, as you push. You have to believe in God's promises. You have to believe in God's love for you. You're not alone. He is with you. But if you don't believe in him, you're not going to persevere. And you're not going to grow. And you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to leave the church or leave God because you don't see the results. You're the same person the whole time. Why? Because you're really not invested. Because you're really not determined to do it. Does it make sense? So you have to fight. When you're going through trouble and you're going through pain and you're like, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. And you're going through the fire. You have to go through the fire. You can't resist the fire. You know, it's a bad thought of going through the fire because it hurts. But at the end, when you get to the other side, you're refined. You're clean. You're a different person. So you have to persevere. Here's some practicals. Number 3. First of all, you have to set a goal. Okay? Whatever it is that you want to change, you have to set it as a goal. You cannot just live life like, oh, whatever happens, you know. No, you have to have a goal. What is it in your character that you want to change? So you set it as a goal. Okay? They had a goal. They wanted to do the whole triathlon. And they pushed, and they tread water, and they walked the mile, and they did all the stuff they did, but they did it. They went to the end. You have to work towards that goal daily. I'm going to read something from a sister, because Kat put together all their thoughts in documents, so it's so interesting what one of them wrote. One of them said, "On those hills, I will quote scriptures. As I mount my spiritual hills, I have to hold on and even more to the scriptures. The same way I did not give up on my triathlon, I cannot give up on my spiritual journey." So she was constantly, gradually. There's another part she says, and if I keep moving, no matter how slow, I'm moving the finish line. I'm moving the finish line gets closer and closer. So she didn't stop. She didn't give up. She said, it doesn't matter how I get there, I'm going to get there. I'm going to make it happen. That was Kat. Thank you. So you set a goal. You work on it daily. You don't just, oh, wait, what was I working on? Oh, I was working about being patient. Oh, you know, you forget the goal. You know, if you forget the goal, then you're really not serious about it. So you have to set a goal, work at it daily. You have your set of scriptures that you found in the Bible because you did a Bible study on it. And you wrote them down on a piece of paper. And when you're not having patience, you're like, okay, I have to read this. Because I'm not being patient right now. My kids are making me crazy, my husband. So let me read the scriptures. You fight it. You work at it daily with the scriptures. You memorize scriptures. You read them. You take a break. You go away. You read your Bible. You do whatever it takes. But you don't. But you fight it on a daily basis. You fast if you have to. If your commitment level is not there, you fast if you have to. Because you want to get there. You want to. Remember, it's a fight against something that's been in your character for so long that you want to get out of there. You have to be open to the sisters. You have to be open to get input. You have to be open to look bad. You have to be open to just throw up on somebody and say, hell, I need help. I'm not getting nowhere. Could you help me? So you have to push, be open and seek advice. You know, you don't know everything. So somebody might be able to help you, like Jackie, depended on, who was it? For your swimming, the swim coach, and somebody, you know, they all dependent on each other. I think, let me read another quote, very interesting, from their little, I think it was Tammy. She said, during training, in order to become the best, you have to train with the best. I knew if I was going to have a chance at having a good time running, I had to train with Jackie and Tracy. They were the runners of the team. Whenever we would do a trial run, my goal was to always have one of them in my side. So she was smart. She's like, if I want to get this done, I need to hang out with the good ones, the ones that run. That has to be our mentality. That has to be your... If you want to grow in a certain area, don't hang out with a sister that has the same issue. You know what I mean? Or work hard at helping her so you can help yourself. But if you have issues with patience, go talk to somebody that's real humble and know how to deal with issues in a humble way. So I'm not saying don't talk to sisters. I'm saying just find those people. Find those people that are going to help you. Surround yourself with those people that are going to call you higher, that are going to keep you accountable. Not somebody that's going to caress your sin and say, oh, you're okay. I'll be quiet. You'll be quiet. Just, you know, we won't say anything. That's not going to take you to heaven. You both are going to go into the pit. So just surround yourselves with people that want to do what's right. All right. So those are some of the practicals. Here's my challenge for you guys. I'm checking my time. In this life, we're gonna have battles. In this life, we're gonna have trials. But we're not alone. We will have difficulties, but God is with us. And He knows every detail about you. He knows everything that you struggle with. He knows all your talents because He gave them to you. He knows everything about you. You can't go through life without Him. You have to believe in His promises, even when it gets really hard. We tend to stop praying and we get all discouraged and sad and melancholic and we're like, oh, woe is me. And we forget that there is a God. We forget there are sisters. We just stay in our little house like, woe is me. I'm not calling anybody. I'm too sad. Or, you know what I mean? That's not going to help you change. You need people in your life in times of trouble. So I'm calling your sisters that no matter what you're going through, marital problems, kids problems, problems in school, people looking at you weird because you're a radical teen, you know what I mean? Or boys after you because you're so pretty. You know what I mean? It happens. It happens, campus students. So just fight it. Fight for purity. Fight for get to that, to marriage pure. Amen. Fight to be the best you can be because you have all the opportunities. You've committed sin. Yes, I know, but we've done more. And we're telling you, the older ones will tell you, you can do better than us. So please, believe in God, go through it, and He will be with you all along. The last scripture I want to share with you, 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 15. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That means when you got baptized that day. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed, the only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We cannot forget. I charge you to please persevere. Believe in God. Remember that after the fire, there is growth. And that you have to depend on one another to change. What is the alternative? Hell. You don't want to go there. So I pray and I ask you to study this out on your own. I studied this perseverance study, and there were so many scriptures. I mean, I had to choose them carefully because I wanted to give you all the scriptures, but it would have taken me so long. But you cannot stop persevering. It's a necessity for your salvation. Amen. So that's my class, and I want Kat to pray for the end, please.
Thank you so much for that class. Let's hold hands, sisters. God, thank you so much for this time to be able to meet together as women. I know we all look forward to it, the last Thursday of the month, to get together as sisters. And I pray that we be like Noah, that you really, that we're really obedient to your word, that we have great faith, and that we realize that in trials, you really are refining our characters. And I thank you so much just for us being able to persevere, that you give us the hearts to keep going, and you give us the strength, and you don't give us anything that we cannot bear. And I pray so much that we will encourage each other, that we will have really tight relationships with the everyone in this room and the sisters who we're holding hands with now, and that we will really be invested in each other. I pray that we're able to set goals, and also that we're really able to be open with sisters as we think about the things in our characters that need to change, that will require so much perseverance. God, you are amazing. We thank you so much for Jesus and Him being the perfecter of our faith. And we love you so much. And I pray that we have a great time of fellowship, and fellowship that is really deep, and that we're really open with each other and not anything that is surfacey. God, we love you, and amen.
You guys are dismissed.